Welcome everyone to today's podcast of The Secret is Prayer, and we'll get started. We're going to be not finishing up John, right, but continuing on John.
Continuing John.
Okay. All righty, Lauren, you want to take it away?
Yes. Conduct, Lord, that divine dialogue in our hearts, whereby the Holy Spirit speaks into the very core of our being in a way that is mysterious and wonderful, far beyond the voice of a mere man. Being encountered by you, the one who has written this book, may it be so for your son's sake. Amen.
Amen.
And that one's by Alistair. It's one of his prayers, Alistair Begg.
Oh, I like him.
So today we're going to continue with 16, 17, and 18. And this one will be... well, they may be in the world, not of this world. So, so we ended our last podcast with the persecutions being predicted, right? So, so Jesus warns them of the persecution that's coming, right? So, we'll start off there. And you know what? And I'll read that real quick. If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. And that's what we're going to see in the next few chapters. The counselor's ministry. Jesus' ministry. When the counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. You also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning. So Jesus is preparing them, right? He's telling them that they're going to be, well, the hour has come, and now he's getting ready to be captured and be crucified. So he's preparing the disciples for that. And he's telling them, he's trying to tell them ahead of time what's coming. And he's telling them, you are not of this world because I have taken you out of it. And I think we're going to see here, if you've been through a journey, I know that us here, as we go through it, we're going to see where we've, you know, where all of this is going to sound familiar to us. So, so let's start with where he tells them, I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling. They will ban you from the synagogues. So he tells me, I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling. So he's telling them these things to keep them from being blindsided. And I think that we can all relate to that, where we've been blindsided.
I was going to say that.
yeah, we all got knocked off our feet. So, but even I think I could see where they're hearing it. You know, he's telling them this and they're like, okay, okay, okay. You know, but you're, yeah, there's, you don't see it coming. You don't see it coming.
But I'm glad he warned them. We didn't get
it. I know. And that one, that's a good thing that he's telling them all these things. And mm-hmm. at the time, they're probably not, you know, perceiving what's coming. But I think right. that now for us going forward, because we've been able to go back, because he tells them later, I'm telling you these things so that you remember them, so that when they happen, you return to me that, hey, I, you know, hey, he said these things, you know, you put it together. Hey, he warned us about these things so that you stay mm-hmm. with him and not mm-hmm. run away, you know?
Right. And that's kind of where we get at, to our journey. Yeah. And when we look mm-hmm. back, we're like, no wonder, this makes sense. Everything. Yes. Next
mm-hmm. you know, everything that he said is true and all that. Yeah. So there's comfort in that, there's peace in that, because we know then that, you know what, he warned us about this, and but he also promised to protect us and to restore us. So if we stick mm-hmm. with him, you know, then we'll be okay,
right?
So then, okay, they will ban you from synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do these things because they haven't known the Father or me. And there I can, because as you learn the truth, as you start reading scripture and you learn the truth, then your eyes are being opened, right? And you're seeing more and more. And then here, where he goes, you know, they will think that their service is, that what they're doing is their service for God. And here he's talking about Paul, because remember, Paul was persecuting all the Christians and he thought he was mm-hmm. doing it for the right reasons. He thought he was following God, you know, right. and he wasn't, he was wrong. And I, as you read the truth and as you read scripture and you learn, then your eyes are being opened and you're going to start to see where, or you might even question where you're worshiping and where you're praising and the people that you're talking to and listening to. You're going to start seeing that division, right?
Right.
And then I'll skip a little and he'll go to say, because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth, because he's telling them, you know, that the time is coming where I'm going to have to leave you. And so he sees where sorrow fills their heart, you know, so they're not even so much worried anymore about where he's going, but the fact that he's leaving, you know, they're feeling that sorrow in their heart. where was I? But then he tells them it will be to your advantage. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So he tells them that, you know, it's going to benefit them that I leave, because he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about that and how when we, you know, when our journey started, that we felt that Jesus was not there, that he had left, how that put sorrow in our hearts, and how, you know, at the time we couldn't see how it was going to benefit us, because now we are where we are, you know, mm-hmm. in our spiritual lives. But at the time we couldn't see that, right? So we were filled with sorrow.
And I think, like, for me, if I fall or if I fail at one particular moment, I do feel like, oh no, did I lose him? You know, did he turn away from me? And I know he didn't, but that's just how, I guess that's the conviction of guilty, like, oh my gosh, I probably upset him and he turned his face away. So it's like, don't turn your face away.
Now we pray, like, I know that I constantly pray now, please don't ever let me get lost again, because mm-hmm. I never want to be back where I was, where I thought he had left me, you know.
Yeah.
So I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. And you know that when he talks about, but you know, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. As you learn to accept the truth only from him, you know, as you learn that if you want the truth, it's only going to come from him. Sometimes hearing that truth is really hard. And right. So, and even then, some of the things that he tells us, you know, because we want the truth and we ask for the truth and just tell me the truth and show me the truth. But then sometimes when he does show that to us, it's, you know, it is very hard to bear, even when it, and sometimes that truth is about us, you know, where we are.
Yeah.
And it is very hard to bear. And at the time we're thinking, no, give it to me. We can take it. And you'll learn that that's not, it's easier said than done.
And do you think, for us, you know, we've been on our journey for a while, you know, but before the journey started, before he called us, we were blind, right? Our veil was covering our eyes. Do you think we didn't have the Holy Spirit at that point, right? I mean, right. When we become saved, then he sends the Holy Spirit.
Right, yes.
And that's what I just want the listeners to know. Like, we can all pray to God. We can all go to church. But until we surrender and give ourselves to Jesus, our Savior, Only then can we truly get to know him and receive the Holy Spirit to where right. we can get the truth, you know?
Right. Yep.
Because it's not something we can just ask for. Okay. You know,
because right. or just because you know that, hey, yeah, there's a God. And yeah, there's, you know, there's Jesus. I believe in Jesus. There is a difference between yeah. that and actually having a relationship with Jesus. And I think that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. You won't question it if you received it or not.
Right.
But I could say that, yes, before my journey, I had not received the Holy Spirit. A little while and you, while I moved on to sorrow, turn to joy. A little while and you will no longer see me. Again, a little while and you will see me. So here he's telling them, you know, I'm going to disappear. He's talking about his death and resurrection. You know, you're not going to see me, but then in a little while you will see me. And that was us too, right? Because for a little while we didn't see him. We couldn't feel right. him. We couldn't see him. And then now we have him again, you know, we do see him and even more clear, you know. Then some of his disciples said to one another, what is this he's telling us? A little while and you will not see me again. A little while and you will see me. So, you know, the disciples are still struggling with what he's telling them. And again, this is an example of not being able to bear a lot of what he's trying to tell them, you know, like there's so much to tell yeah. them and they're still like, well, wait a minute, what are you saying? And here it says, what is this that he is saying? So truly, truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. And then, you know, he compares it to when a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice and no one will take away your joy from you. And oh boy, is that true, you know, because when you can get there, when you can feel the joy, even in the chaos and knowing that it's coming from him, not from anyone else, but from him, and that can sustain you, then, you know, that's something that no one can take Jesus away from you, you know? And so that was huge for me.
And to know that we cannot be unsaved or nobody right. can make us unsaved, yes. you know?
Right, it's right. In that day, you will not ask. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say a little bit back from the when he said, you know, where they were confused, like, where is he going in a little while? Tony's notes is real good because it tells us, like, don't be upset when we don't understand, because not even his disciples understood.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, because even understand until we get through it to where we can look back and say, uh-huh, that's.
And that's really how scripture goes, because you can read it. I mean, we read it all the time and we, you know, we've been reading it every day. And still we're like, well, wait a minute, does this mean this or does it mean this? And then it's not till, you know, later that we're able to put it together and say, ah, okay, this is what he was saying.
And can I just say, you know, I read John twice, the full gospel, and reading it now for our podcast, I don't know, it must be the Holy Spirit, because every time I read the chapters before we talk about them, there is things that are so different to me and they pop out and I'm just like, wow, I didn't even think of it that way, you know?
And I think that's what's so exciting about it too, that when you're open it, you don't know what you're going to get, you know, because it's never the same thing.
Never.
Okay. So in that day, you will not ask me anything. Truly, I tell you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be complete. So, you know, he's telling them, before you had not asked me for nothing in my name. Because before, you know, I can say for me that before I wasn't praying in Jesus' name. And now I know him. And now everything that I pray for, it, you know, everything, all my prayers are in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And asking you will receive. And And it's not until I think you know Jesus and that you receive the Holy Spirit, then you know that the things that you ask for, you are receiving them, you know. And even like we were talking about earlier today, that, you know, it's always a yes, no, or wait. But when you know Jesus, you learn to understand why he's mm-hmm. giving you those answers. So he does, he does answer you. And when you ask, you do receive an answer, you know, and we might not always understand the answer, but when you know what to look for, then you understand that he's in control and that there's a reason for everything that he's doing.
Yeah. And, you know, can I just say too, we also pray in Jesus' name, and I never did that before. And if you're Catholic, you know that making the sign of the cross is something that we always do. And it's funny because at night, when my husband and I pray, at first, yes, at the end, we always did the cross. And then now it's like, I don't do it anymore. So it's not a big thing for me. I think because for Jesus, I don't think they did the sign of the cross. I think it's a Catholic symbol, you know? So that's,
oh, that's true. I hadn't even thought about that even. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought about it that way.
And the crucifix to it.
Are we going to do the sign of the cross? And I said, did we not do it? Like, it just, I hadn't even
thought about that, you know, mm-hmm. like that is so true.
I would do the cross before my prayer, after my prayer. I mean, it was just a constant. And now mm-hmm. I only do it in church. Like, it's not, as long as I pray
right.
in Jesus' name,
I feel yeah.
good. That's like my comfort now, not before, it was the cross.
The cross, yeah. Yeah. No, that's so true. I do. I still do the sign of the cross. I do both. Like, because the sign of the cross is just, it's like a reaction, you know, like you just kind of do it. So, because I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's true. But I know that now, and everything is in Jesus' name. And thank you, Jesus, and Jesus, and Jesus. You know, it just comes so easy now because we know him now, and we know, you know, how he works. So it's easy to see him in all things now.
Mm-hmm. So, man, that means that we are getting more intimate with him, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. Awesome. I believe so. I believe every day,
that. Yeah.
Okay. So, Jesus the Victor, I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I am not telling you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. And that right there, like, the Father himself loves you is like, oh, like, wow, you know, the Father himself loves me because you have loved him. So, and it's not that the Father didn't love you before, and it's not that if the cross hadn't happened he wouldn't love you. It's just that now that we love Jesus, that we know Jesus, and we can say we love Jesus, that's proof of the love that the Father has for us, you know,
because Jesus is very precious to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to all of us, I should say, you know.
Yes. Yep. His disciples said, look, now you're speaking plainly and not using any, they're like, okay, we got it now. We got it. We understand what you're saying.
But do they?
You're not yet. Well, no, exactly. Then that's what Jesus tells him. You know, he goes, now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. But by this, we believe that you came from God. It's like, okay, we got it. And then Jesus responds to them, do you not believe? He's like, do you? Or, you know, because he tells them, indeed, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. So he's telling them, you know, when they're going to come get him, you all are going to run. Y'all going to scatter. And so they're like, no, mm-hmm. we believe. We're going to be with you. And he tells them, you know, I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. So this is going to, when, as it goes on and he is crucified and resurrected, then they remember all these things that he said. And it's just like, wow. Yep. He told us, you know, it's confirmation.
And, you know, it almost, you know, when he says they're going to scatter each of their own home and he's going to be alone. But isn't it kind of what God does to us? He secludes us too. He lets everyone scatter to their homes and we're by ourselves because all we need is God. And Jesus knows all I need is my Father.
Because we should imitate Jesus. He's teaching us step by step how to carry our own cross, you know, how to sacrifice ourselves for others, you know, how to love others. He's showing us how to be that son and daughter of God.
Okay, and that's who we become. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's the end game, right? That's the goal to become like him.
Yes.
So Jesus prays for himself. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son so that the son may glorify you. Since you gave him authority over all flesh so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given to him. So, you know, Jesus prays for himself, but he doesn't pray selfishly. He prays for him, you know, he prays, glorify your son so that your son may glorify you. So he turns it back to God, glorify me so that I may glorify you. And that I was thinking, that's how we should pray. You know, that's how we should pray too. Like, God, glorify me so that I can glorify you. You know, so we can continue to glorify God in everything that we do.
Because, you know, I wrote down how Jesus always, you know, took care of everyone. You know, he healed, he, you know, took the demons out of people. But here I was like, you know, he prayed even for himself, you know, so because sometimes I think us, especially parents, we pray for our kids, our spouse, our families, and we don't pray for ourselves. But I like yours better, you know.
This is actually a really, because in the same way that he's teaching us to pray, you know,
right,
so that we can glorify God.
Because after we go through everything, it is so we can glorify. He does this for us and we can share it. Like, look what God did for me.
It's our, you know, because we're being a witness and it's our testimony that draws people back to him. Yep. Right. So, you know, and to another thing is, you know, the cross appeared to be shameful, you know, that it was shameful because Jesus was not true. But to Christ, it meant going to the cross. To Jesus, it meant true glory, you know, to be able to complete, because that brought his mission to completion, you know, that he was able to, that was where he needed to get to. And that is where he got to give the glory to God. So, but at that time that people saw it as a shameful thing, like, you know, he was false and now look, he got crucified, right. And, you know, they mocked them, they persecuted him and all those things. So, and that's scary because we can easily get lost in all that too, you know?
Right.
Okay. So.
And, you know, and for then, him, go he ahead. Knew his, he knew he was, he was going to descend to earth. You know, he knew by the age of 33, he would be crucified, you know, and I know he did it for his father to glorify him. But man, you know, like us, yes, we know, but we don't know when we're going to die, how we're going to die.
Right. We don't.
So I can't imagine the burden, because even though, yes, he was sinless, everything, but to carry that one burden of, I'm going to be betrayed by one of my own. This is how I'm going to be tortured.
Yeah, because remember, because Jesus loves all of them, even Judas. He loved Judas, you know, and he knew what Judas was going to do. And he knew what happened to Judas was going to happen to him because of his betrayal. He loves all of us. And so I can only, it's like being a parent and you see your kids and then knowing that your kids are not, you know, are going to go through this and that, and you can't help them, you know, as much as you tell them and as much as you give them, you can't help them because, you know, it's their choice that they have to make. So,
and it kind of puts things in perspective as parents. You know, I'm sure God loved his son and he gave up his only son. So for Jesus to carry that burden of knowing what his fate was, we can't even imagine how God felt seeing that his people do that to his son. Because for us, it hurts us to see our kids like that, you know? Exactly. Because what do we say? If I can take it from you, I'd carry your pain. And I'm sure if God could do it, he would have, you know?
Yep.
But this, Jesus had to do it on his own.
Right.
Just like we say, well, our kids
Jesus did by going to the cross, right? So it was taking on all of our stuff. So he took that on. And then here you're going to see where it says, "Too, I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do." So that ties back to Philippians 2, where it reads, "All will recognize Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess." So, and that's where that relates to where he says, "I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do." And I think that too, that's us. We have work to do here.
Yeah.
You know, we all have a purpose and we all have work to do here. So again, he's teaching us. "Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed." And again, that ties us back to Genesis, before the world existed, you know, the Trinity, where, you know, the glory that he had with God the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So now Jesus prays for his... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, and I'm sure that was the thing that... the thought that kept him going, because he knew he'd be right there at the right hand, you know, with his Father. And that should be us too. We can get through these trials because at the end of our time, we will get to be there with them, with Jesus.
Yes. Yep. And two, where it reads, since you gave him authority over all the flesh, and that's going back to the beginning of 17, glorify your son so that the son may glorify you, since you gave him authority over all the flesh. You know, for us to remember that Jesus has authority over all of us, whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not, he has authority over all of us, you know.
Right.
And the life of Jesus was to glorify God as ours should be. So that was an important point that I had skipped. So Jesus prays for his disciples. "I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me and they have kept your word." So you gave them to me. And then in Luke, if we go back to Luke, in Luke 6:12, it's where it reads, "During those days, he went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. When daylight came, he summoned his disciples and he chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles." So where he keeps saying, because we're going to read it, we're going to hear it where in his prayer where he keeps saying, "Those you gave to me." So he summoned them and chose them. So it's like God chose them, you know, for him, for Jesus. So he keeps saying, "God, those you gave to me, those you gave to me. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, because I have given them the words you gave me. They have received them and have known for certain that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours." So here... and this is also a good reminder that about everything that we pray for, that it's come from God. Everything comes from God, you know, and it's in the same way that Jesus here is saying, "I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine, and I am glorified in them." So that's how we should pray too, that, you know, everything that we have is from God. And then here
he takes away for sure.
Right. And here through, you know, Jesus is saying too that through him, he has revealed God to the disciples, and that the disciples now believe in them. So we have to believe that Jesus had searched their heart and knew that they, you know, truly believed that he was the Messiah and that God has sent him. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may become one as we are one. So then too, there, Jesus is saying that they remain in him, that God protect them in his name, in Jesus' name, and that they remain one as Jesus and God are one. So he wants his disciples, he wants, you know, them to remain as one, remain together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different, like we were talking, like, you know, together, united.
Okay.
And I think we talked about it in the last podcast too, that, or I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast.
Like us three are one together.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so remember we talked about how the disciples, they were all together and they all worked together, to where in the Old Testament, the prophets, like Jeremiah and all of them, they all worked alone.
Oh, right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, and how different, and it, with the disciples, that they were always in groups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then while I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost except the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. And again, remember here, none of them was lost except Judas, the one that betrayed him. So, right. So Jesus didn't lose him. Judas lost himself, you know?
Right.
So we need to remember that. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. And again, he's talking about how we should feel joy in him, you know, even with the chaos, even with everything going on, that he wants us to have joy. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And he keeps saying that too, over and over. He keeps repeating that, you know, because before we were of this world, remember he starts it off with the world loved them when they were of this world, but they're no longer of this world. So we're no longer a part of this world. He doesn't want to take us out of the world because he wants us to stay. You know, we have a job to do. He wants us to stay and to, you know, share the message and to carry the his message of love and redemption to everybody. So he doesn't want to take us out of this world.
Right.
And then he says that next, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So sanctified, you know, means to be made holy, right? To be made holy and to be set apart. So he's saying that, you know, that we may be sanctified as his disciples, that we may be protected and sanctified and remain holy.
Okay.
So and then Jesus prays, because that was his, I had noticed before that it was, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for his believers. So,
yeah, you know, that was one of the things, that's why I thought, he's praying for himself, you know, that we should all pray that. But then, yes, we should pray for ourselves and glorify God. And I thought, wow. And then we moved on to the disciples. Like, we should pray for each other, the Christian community, you know,
right.
And then the believers, because it's true. There's unbelievers. There's true. I think I consider us true believers.
Yes. Well, I consider us disciples, you know. I consider us true disciples. And, you know, and I believe too that, that disciples, as disciples, you know, we have, undeniable, you know, and unlimited access to God through Jesus, you know. Because as he describes everything here, I feel like we've, you know, this has been our journey. This has been our journey, you know, what the disciples are going through with him, you know, and I believe this has been our walk. So reading this, that's why it's so important to read scripture, because it's easier when you understand what's happening. Because when you don't understand what's happening, then you're already lost, and then you don't understand what's happening, and things are getting crazier and crazier, and it makes it even worse. It makes it darker, you know. You get lonelier, you feel defeated and all those things. But then when you start reading scripture and you understand, oh my God, this is what's happening. You know, this is what's happening, and there's hope, you know, there's hope in this, and I don't have to do this alone. Then it changes everything.
Right. And you can only, I think, you know, a lot of pastors, if you hear different sermons, they all say the same. You can't just go to church on Sunday and get all this. Like, you have to live in his word every day. You know, I can't stress that enough, because I didn't know that. I would do church, skip mass, only go when my kids did sacraments. But when they were off of classes, well, you know, we're off of church. And this is so important. Like, thank God, I've never missed a day for scripture for myself. You know, I make sure to get, if whether it's right in the morning or in later that morning or evening, I make sure to open it for me, you know, to get that. Right. It's so important. So important.
And you know, we were before where, you know, they're telling him, oh, now we believe, we get it, you know. And then, but then when their faith was shaken, then, mm-hmm. you know, they all did scatter. And that was us. I think we scattered, we were lost. We were, you know, just running around crazy. And at least I know I was. And so, but then coming back and reading this now, I'm able to put it together, you know, like, you know what? No, it's all here, you know, everything that happened is, yes. it's all here.
Yeah.
Okay, so now he prays for his believers. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. So, and I think too that here Jesus sees where the disciples are going to make a difference, and there are going to be some believers, you know, where they are going to bring, you know, can be able to convert people, and there's going to be more believers. And so he's praying for them too. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I'm in them and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And again, he repeats that, you know, that how God loves them and how we need to be one.
I just want to, this question's probably dumb, but do you think before I was saved, would I have been considered a believer back then?
I don't know. I think that's hard, because it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder what we were before.
Okay,
because we were trying, we thought we were doing the right thing, you know, we thought we were doing the right thing, and
right,
but we were only, I don't even know what you would call that, you know, because it's kind of like call. because we believed in God and we were praying, and I don't want to say that God wasn't there, because I know that he was there, you know, I always felt that he was near, always felt
like
that
the
he
preschoolers,
was near. Yeah, well, yeah.
Doing the basics, you know, singing and
yeah, no, that's true.
Following the rituals and
the prayers that they teach us, yeah, like the little kids. Yeah,
like the little kids. So
yeah.
Well, I was wondering, we hadn't been truly known to that.
Okay.
And I think he was protecting us too then, you know. And in some way getting us ready for this, because our world was about to be shaken. I think, you know, that we all talked about how there were some signs there that led us to this. So I think slowly, you know, he did do it because we wouldn't have been able to bear all the things that were coming, you know. So it's kind of like, hey, okay, your time is coming. We're, you know, I'm going to go away for a little while and then come back. So I can see how that, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't the right time.
Yeah, we're like, okay, okay.
He went away for a little while, but I feel like he sent you, Lorena. So it was like I was alone, so to speak, but not quite, you know, because that's, I think that's,
and I think that's for all of us, because it was like the same for me and my sister, that we kind of, you know, we found each other and that we were able to do our journey together. So it's kind of like he brought us all together to get, you know, get us through it. So he didn't completely leave us alone. So, and that way, and that's why in that sense, like he was always there and he was always protecting us, you know?
Yeah.
I never saw it like that. Like they, like he left us alone once, I guess, the valley started, or once it was time, he left us alone. Yeah.
When it was time, because there was that. Because I remember feeling the complete abandonment, like the complete, like, where is he, you know? So I could see where he was going away, and it just kind of further. So I can see where, you know, because remember, that's he preached to them for 3 years. And he's telling them, like, all these things are coming. And I can see how we kind of feel like, hey, something's going on. Remember, like, we noticed changes. Something's like, going on.
Okay, we're walking. Yeah. Like, he's guiding me. And then it's like I fall into a pit. And then it's like, where's he at? So he can pull me out. Like, I felt like, where's that?
Maybe, like, he walked away. Not that he walked away. But
he left
Jesus. Out. When he was being crucified, he said,
yeah, okay. when they took him, you know, once they bound him and took him and then he died. And then they're kind of like, well, they weren't expecting that, you know, and they're like, well, wait a minute, because you don't know if he's coming back or not. Right. You're stuck in those 3 days. Well, for us, it was longer than 3 days. But like for them that were like, I believe we're good. I got it. I understand. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. He died, you know, and then he died. He's gone. Now what, you know, and they're being persecuted. They're being, you know, chased and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's where we were, And then, so he was gone for a little while and then he came back.
But then he leaves again.
But then he leaves again. But now they have the Holy Spirit. But now they have the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. So, and remember, because when he leaves again, and then because it's kind of like, okay, well, I taught you all these things. Now I'm having to leave, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, and it's kind of like to test your faith, you know? But now it's better because now Jesus is in you. You've accepted the Holy Spirit. He's in you. So he's with you all the time. There's no question. And, you know, it's strengthening our faith and it's helping us grow. So it was better. It really, because for the disciples, like he was there in his bodily presence, right? So when he's telling them, because remember, he came back for them too after the resurrection, and he was with them for a little while, and then he ascended into heaven. So then no longer had the bodily presence of him there. Now they had to rely on the Holy Spirit, and that was, you know,
but he did send them in twos, right?
Yeah, yes. He sent them in twos. Yeah,
so maybe so they knew, because he knew that, okay, that's not enough.
Well, I think
for sure he knew, because as you read about the disciples, how they all kind of, they all helped each other, you know, as they write, like they're, how they all had different perspectives of
everything. The way the world is, it's easy for us if we were by ourselves. We can
even with the Holy Spirit, I think,
kind of right.
Yeah,
because I think we help each other stay on track. You know, we help each other. We can lean on each other to help each other. I mean,
yeah.
So, well, I'm glad I'm not alone. And that was
for them too, though, because Jesus. You know, Jesus doesn't want it to, like, because he doesn't want it to be like, okay, well, you've been baptized, you received the Holy Spirit, you're good now. You know, he wants us to constantly rely on him, you know, to go back to him, right? Because if not, we would be like, okay, we're good. We're good. Right. I got it. This and that.
Yep.
And no, and he wants us, because in his prayer, you know, he says, keep them. And we need to be kept by God because we can't keep ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to be constantly praying, because we require that constant reliance upon him, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but we need to remember too, like where Jesus, and we need, he's always praying for us. I think that it's not just that one time. I think that, because remember that he prayed for Peter too, that he was like, I pray that you don't lose your faith. When he tells them the devil asked for you, and I pray that you don't lose your faith. So Jesus is always praying for us. And I thought that was very important, because that's another thing where, you know, in the Catholic Church too, that, you know, you think you have to pray to all these saints. You don't. Jesus is praying for you. Mm-hmm. That's right. All you need. That's the only one that you need to worry about praying for you, you know?
And we can see the saints and see what they did, like,
right, learn from
like
them,
stay on their
learn
right
from them.
That's
well, yes, they're a testimony, right? They're a witness, they're a testimony. Mm-hmm. So right, but we can also, you know, we should all strive to be saints too, and but know that Jesus is always praying for you too, you know, that you, and yeah, it's, that's, to me, that's a big comfort.
Mm-hmm.
He's all we need. Yes.
Okay, so where were we? Okay, so Jesus betrayed. So then after, so we all know this story, right? Because where Judas goes, they're in the garden, and then he knows that Judas is getting ready to betray them. And so then Judas shows up with the guards, right? And Jesus tells them, who are you looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, and Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, who is it that you are seeking? Jesus of Nazareth, they answered. I am he. And in this, and just in this, in chapter 18, he says, I am he three times. Mm-hmm. I am he. And then it reads, they stepped back and fell to the ground. So when Jesus said, I am he, the first time, it's like he gave him a little thunder of power, because it says they stepped back and fell to the ground. So he gave him a glimpse of his power just by saying the words, I am he. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus told them, I am he, they stepped back and fell to the ground.
Didn't he show that in the movie, did they?
Well, we haven't gotten to that part. Oh, what movie?
In the Passion of Christ, when the soldiers, you're talking about the soldiers, right?
Correct? I don't think they showed that part. No.
Yeah, I missed that one.
So he gave him a glimpse of his power just by his word. So can you imagine? And so that tells us that Jesus is completely in control. You know, that he didn't have to go, that he chose to give them, you know, to take him, that he chose to let them take him. So and then Peter, and then again, let me read again, because then he says, I am he again. So he says, I am he, Jesus told them. Judas, who betrayed him, was also standing with them when Jesus told them, I am he. They stepped back and fell to the ground. And then later on, we read again, I told you, I am he, Jesus replied. So Jesus keeps calling his focus to himself, because, you know, to keep the scripture where it said, I didn't lose any of the ones you gave me, only Judas.
Right.
So,
and because that was in scripture for them, right? Because they learned it, because I am is who God told Moses.
Right. I am is like another name.
So they learned that I am.
But also that God gave him the disciples. I always thought Jesus chose them.
God gave them. Yeah, because remember, everything belongs to God. God gave them to Jesus.
And I think that's how we talked about that, Lorena. I can remember you saying too, like, even us, like, I think God, you know, gives us to Jesus, and then Jesus takes, and then puts us through our journey, right?
It's almost like I read somewhere, like, it's almost like a gift. It's a gift to Jesus from God, from the Father to the Son, you know, that it's, they're a gift to him, you know?
Right. So, like, how? That, what do you mean, Yvette? Like, he gave
Like us three, you're saying that he gave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like each one of us were called. Okay. Each one of us was called. So it's like,
right, like chosen, like God chose said, us.
Maybe to... he said, son, here's Nina.
Here's these three. Like, good luck. Good luck.
Because that's one thing that it's still like, was I chosen? Was I called? Was I chosen? Was I called? Which one? But
and well, I remember all, well, that's all an of
interesting
them.
Take. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of them are, everyone is called. Everyone is called, but not. Right. The chosen are the ones that follow, that stick, that endure it and go all the way through, you know, because yeah. everyone is called. So not, and just like here, you know, he chose those 12 because God and Jesus searched their hearts and they knew, you know, remember in the prayer, he said, they have believed everything I have told them. Mm-hmm, they believe right. that you sent me. So that's why he chose those 12, you know, because they believed in him.
Oh,
okay. Well, and I think it was,
but then he goes, go and make disciples of every, you know, go and make disciples of everyone. Mm-hmm. So he sends them out to go make more disciples. Of everyone. Yeah.
But I think, but not all, I think Dr. Tony Evans
continue the path.
Yeah. And then right. some, I think they, you know, it's okay if you can't endure it.
Right. right. Not everybody. Right.
Not everybody
right.
does right. it. They'll continue to live their life and they'll, you know,
right. And that's where I feel like it's so important to have each other to help us endure. Because I can remember Lorena saying, Eva, I got you. I'm going to help you carry that cross, you know, and I think that's where we can lean on each other and help each other carry that cross. So that way we can endure and we can make it to the end. Because if not, it does get heavy. Just
it even Jesus get heavy.
Helped, he sent Simon to help him carry the cross. You know, mm-hmm. he couldn't do it. So
and I think for me, to tell you guys, like, hey, come on, and I might not be, you know, say it always in the nicest way, but it's like, hey, it can be done. Like, it's true, and it happened. You know, like, it happened. It's true. Like, you can do it. Like, come on, you can do it. You know, it's like, we keep going, keep going.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Don't give up.
Because the our prize is just the best eternal life with him.
Yes.
Crown. And that's what I remember from the very beginning. You're like, we have a crown. We have a crown. It's there, you know, like.
Well, okay. And that's what got me through mine, because it's like, you can, you know, like, you're his heir, you're his daughter. He's your king. You're the daughter of a right. king. And then no, he's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you down. He's going to save you. He's going to send his army. And that's what I hung on to, you know, and that's what got me through it, because it wasn't easy, but hey, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and it's, mm-hmm. and it seems long, it seems forever, it seems hard, but it can be done with him. It can be done.
Yeah.
So then, okay. So then Peter strikes, Peter pulls out his sword, they arrest Jesus, they bound him, and Peter takes out his sword. And he strikes the high priest's servant and cuts his ear off. And Jesus tells him, you know, no, it, you know, not to put his sword away. So, and then we learn later that Peter also denies Jesus, which we've talked about quite a bit. And so here we are. Here's Peter. You know, he pulls out a sword, but he does it, you know, maybe to prove his faith. With good intentions, you know, to prove his faith that, hey, Jesus, mm-hmm. I'm with you to the end. And Jesus tells him, no, put it away. And then later on, you know, he denies Jesus the three times. So it's like, oh, Peter, come on. But I think that's all of us, because sometimes we feel that we have to respond in violence or take things into our own hands. And we don't. And as you see here, that Jesus calls the attention to himself, like, hey, I am here. I am he. And I think if we can remember that too, when we feel that we're being attacked or persecuted, that Jesus is in front of us saying, hey, I'm mm-hmm. right here. I am he, you know, that he can take that on, that he goes on, it goes before us. You know, right. that's another example of where he goes before us, like he did for David in all those battles, you know, like he did for Joshua in all those battles and for Moses. So I think that was a new way of looking at this part of scripture.
And I think Peter is a good disciple we can all learn from, because, you know, we sometimes we can't let our confidence overtake us. We have to remember to stay humble, because we are not God, and we can't move a mountain like he can, you know. So we have to remember, leave it to God. He's in control. Yes. Stay humble. Oh,
believe me, I wanted to pull that sword many, many, many times. And I think I did. I just didn't strike anything, thankfully. But no, it's hard not to react like Peter did. I think Peter reacted like most of us would.
Right.
And then, then they take him in front of Annas. And after he's arrested, and Jesus is tied up. First, they led him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be better for one man to die for the people. But he said that ended up being, you know, a prophetic statement, but because he was saying it's better one man die than all those people, you know, not realizing that that's exactly what Jesus was going to do, you know, was die for all the people. So so then Peter denies, you know, and then we see that Peter denies Jesus, and then from there we know that he goes to in front of Pilate, right? So then when he goes in front of Pilate, you know, and then Pilate doesn't see him as guilty, because you remember he asked Jesus that, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus replies, if you say that I am, you know. Mm-hmm. But Pilate didn't see Jesus, you know, Pilate being who he was used to seeing mm-hmm. other people come and claim that they're kings, you know, but they usually came, you know, wanting to go maybe into battle or something against the Romans. Like, they came as, I have a king and this is my army. But he didn't see Jesus that way, you know, because Jesus did come to him calmly, in control. So he didn't see a threat in Jesus in that way. Because remember, they brought him to him saying, well, he claims to be the king of the Jews, you know, and we're only supposed to have Caesar. So, but that doesn't stop Pilate either, you know, he still leaves it up to the people. So and then also I want to go over where it says, you know, where Jesus says, I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate says, what is truth? Well, truth was standing right in front of Pilate. That was truth standing right in front of Pilate, you know, and he couldn't see it. And that's all of us, you know, we constantly search for the truth. And it's right in front of us. It's in scripture. It's in the word. It's in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then we'll end with Jesus or Barabbas. So Pilate tells them, you know, it's customary that we release one prisoner. You know, which one do you want me to release, Barabbas or Jesus? And the people choose Barabbas. So they choose a false, violent man, you know, a false, violent son of God, because we're all sons and daughters of God, over the true, loving son of God. And we could say that, well, something I read today is that that's a glimpse of what's to come, you know, when mm-hmm. the Antichrist comes, that will be the ultimate Barabbas, because people keep rejecting Jesus, you know?
Jesus. Wow.
And they rather choose, you know, a false, man or lies. Yeah, lies. They choose lies over, you know, the truth, and violence over love.
Well said.
And that's 16, 17, and 18.
You bet you have a prayer.
I do. Psalms 8, 5 through 9. You made him little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, as well as the animals in the wild, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea that pass through the currents of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on our podcast, and we'll see you next week.